about you, that we might know you and the power of the resurrection. Father, we pray that you might guide and direct us now in this hour and the hour to come, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in John chapter 1, verse 1. Last week we were looking at the beginning. When is the beginning? What beginning is he talking about? And we went through this whole thing. We could identify in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we could pinpoint that quite well. At least we know within a few years, I guess, of when that took place. And in John chapter, in 1 John chapter 1, where he said, in the beginning, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard and which we have seen and what our eyes have seen and handled of the word of life, we understand that was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. But when we come to John, his gospel, it's hard to identify what is the beginning. What is the beginning? And we went back, and we went all the way back into eternity. And I said, if you could go back a centrillion years, that's a million is one with six zeros after. But if you had a one with 303 zeros after it, you could go back that far, he was still there. The only problem with that is that in eternity, there's no years. How do you go back into eternity? Eternity is eternity. And God existed in eternity. God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit existed. The Word was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. We looked at that word, "word" was, and it's Amy. And Amy is an imperfect tense, which looks at something that occurs in the past, but no assessment to its completion. It just existed. Absolute existence. In the beginning, the Word absolutely existed. What beginning is he talking about? I don't know. I don't know. I had some thoughts about it this week. I'm not sure that I'm right, but in the beginning, we talked a little bit about the foundation of the world in Galatians, and we're going to be looking at that a little bit more this morning. And we saw that that word foundation is used to conceive. And maybe when he's talking about the conception, I don't know. I told you that John is so simple, yet when you get down to looking at it, it's sort of beyond our comprehension to really understand when was the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Starts off in eternity and space, and nothing existed except God. Not even the angels were there. God created the angels. That took place sometime. But in the beginning was the Word. Nothing else existed. Jesus did. Jesus did. You and I have a personal history. I was born December 18th. I think Phyllis was born December 18th too, wasn't she? I know there's some same birth as I have. And I can look back and I know when my birthday is. Jesus didn't have a beginning. He has no birthdays. He has no birthdays. The Father doesn't have any birthdays. The Holy Spirit doesn't have any birthdays. They always existed. They always were. And when John says, in the beginning, he's looking back beyond anything that you and I or our little minds can comprehend. In the beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The word there is Logos, L-O-G-O-S. You want to write that down. You're all familiar with it. I don't know if you need to write it down. It comes from the word Lego. We're familiar with the little building blocks, Lego, but that's not what he's talking about here. He thought, well, Lego means to speak or to say. Originally, it was an interesting word. It meant to lay or to pick out or to gather or to pick up. And then it meant to gather together and put words together. Lego, to speak. When a child is born, he can't speak. But I guess age one or a little bit before one, they begin, their minds begin to comprehend things and they begin to say words. They pick up meanings of something and they can look at it and they can say milk, or drink, or mama or papa. They identify things with, and they're able to pick out ideas and communicate them to us. And eventually, they're able to pick out enough words that they say, I want milk. They're able to pick up words to communicate, to put sentences together, and then they begin to speak. First of all, the word logos means to the same as our word, W-O-R-D, our word, word. What is a word? What is a word? Think about that just a second. What is a word? You know what words are, but what is a word? In the beginning was the Word. What is a word? Well, the Word is, as you and I understand it, it's a collection or a collecting together of both of things in the mind by which thoughts of the mind can be expressed, right? Do y'all know what this is? This is a remote. Y'all see it? Now say it for me. What is this? Remote. See, what I did was I pointed to this, and I gave you, told you what it was. Now you are able to identify that. A word, remote, remote. You collected it in your mind. Now you may have known what it was before, but you collected it in your mind, and then you were able to make an outward expression of what it is. So that every time you see this, you know that this is a remote. You have remote controls for your computers and for your TVs and whatnot else you have remote controls for. And we all understand that. And so what we've done is we've taken something and we've made in our mind, we picture that, and when we see it, we know what it is. It's a word, remote. In other words, a word is an expression. By words, we communicate our thoughts, do we not? The Word of God then is, now listen to me, the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word of God then is deity expressing himself in audible terms. You get that? The Logos is deity expressed in audible terms. The Word, he was the Word. He was the Word. And yet when I say that and I think about it, how much is there that could be said about it? You get, in the beginning was the Word, an expression, a thought in God's mind. But he was more than that. You say he was more than, he was God. We'll see that in just a moment. Thoughts are incommunicable until they are put in the words. Several times the scriptures ask, who has known the mind of the Lord? How do you know the mind of the Lord? Unless he communicates, we don't know, do we? What's on my mind? You have no idea. Unless I express it to you in audible terms by words or by the Word. To put it in the Word. See, no one knows the mind of God unless it becomes audible, unless it's expressed. How do we know God? Through Jesus Christ, the Word. By conveying our thoughts, we can begin to communicate. We begin to understand things. How did John get these thoughts? Think about that just a moment. In the beginning was the Word. How did John know that? Well, we can turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. This is true of all the apostles. Peter says this, "For prophecy never came by the will of men, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." See, that's inspiration. And John, when he wrote this, in the beginning was the Word, there was no way that he knew that except through something communicated to his mind. The Holy Spirit moved upon him, and he was able to understand and write these words to us under expression. See, this throws light on a lot of passages. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 with me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. See, the word is deity expressing himself. Deity expressing himself. In Hebrews 1:1-2, it says, God who at sundry or in various times and in various ways spoke in time past by to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Who's the Son? The Logos. And he's spoken to us, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Here we learn that Christ is the final spokesman for God. The Logos, words, the Word. He's the one who communicates. He's the one who gathers up God's thoughts and is able to communicate them to us. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, 8. Here he's identified, notice what he says, as the Alpha and Omega. The Alpha and Omega. What is Alpha and Omega? The beginning and the end. The beginning and the end of what? Well, all right. But it's alphabet, isn't it? Alpha is a letter A in the Greek. Omega is I mean, the last one. Alpha and Omega. He is the Alpha. He's God's alphabet. See, he's the one who spells out deity. He is the one who communicates to us. He is the beginning and the end, but he's the Alpha. He's the alphabet by which God communicates to man. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18. Yeah. John chapter 1, verse 18. He says this, John says this, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath declared him. The word declared is exegeomai. Exegeomai means to speak out, to tell fully, or to provide detailed information, if you please. See, he's gathering together these three passages that we learned that Christ is the one who is the spokesman for God. He is the Logos. He is the Word. He is the one who is able to communicate to us. He's provided detailed information, if you please, concerning the Father and the Holy Spirit. He has made the incomprehensible comprehensible or understanding. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the alphabet. He's the Word. He's the Word. He has gathered together all the thoughts, the Word. And he's communicated what he wants us to know. He is the Logos. When Jesus was among men, he expressed what was going on in the mind of God. He told us what was there. He told us the thoughts of God. He was God's utterance here on earth. He was God's Word. He was the Word. He unveiled to us what Paul calls the secret and hidden wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. The secret and hidden wisdom of God. See, he was here. The Word speaks, the Word communicates, the Word is the alphabet. What God thinks is reality. That is what ultimately comes into being. God thought about heaven and earth, and what happened? It happened. He spoke and it all came into existence. His Word. He spoke and it came into existence. Yes. Well, I think he goes back further than that. I think he goes back. He didn't communicate us with that. He, in the beginning, right, I know that. Right. In the beginning, he created the heaven and the earth. We know what that beginning is. But when you get, what is in the beginning was the Word? When was that? No, there is a beginning. That's what John's saying to us. There is a beginning. You and I can't comprehend that beginning. He always existed. There was always a beginning with God. Certainly it happened in time. It happened in his mind, which took place. See, he thought about it. So there was a beginning of his thoughts. It didn't come into existence until much later. There was lots of things that took place. The creation of the angels, the creation of the heaven and the earth. So in the beginning he's not talking about the beginning of creation. He's going back beyond creation. Jesus existed before the creation of the world, right? He always existed. So there is no beginning, right? There is no beginning. Well, as in our understanding. But John's communicating something much deeper than that. He's communicating to us the Word. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was He created the heavens and the earth. But those two beginnings are not the same. He takes us back beyond that, back into eternity. And God existed. We'll see that just a little bit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? With God. So he takes us back to that point when the Word was with God. We'll look at that in just a few moments. I wrote this down. I got this, I don't know, 100 years ago, I guess. I know you believe you understand what you think I said. But I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I really meant. Let me repeat that to you. I should have put it in the overhead. I know that you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I really meant. I can't express it. I don't have enough words to express. In the beginning was the Word, this Logos, this one who existed for all eternity, the one who was with God and who was God. The truth concerning this phrase, in the beginning was the Word, is beyond what I am able to grasp a hold of. I can't understand it. I can go back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and I understand that. But the Word existed before that. So there had to be something before that. In the beginning was the Word. What is John trying to say? I don't know. In the beginning was the Son. See, if he would have said, in the beginning was the Son, I could understand that. That's pretty easy to understand. The Son and the Father have a relationship. But in the beginning was the Word, the God's expression. And he became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, I don't know what we can say about that. In the beginning was the Word. I've read I don't know how much on that, and I don't know that anyone really comprehends that. It sounds easy. You all read that 1,000 times, but when you really look at it, you say, "In the beginning was the Word." What is the beginning? Where is it? Where was the Word? The Word is this expression. It is putting the thoughts together, and what is this? A remote. You all know that. You're able to put that, you're able to identify this by a word. And we're able to identify God by what? The Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The statement answers the question, he was with God. He was with God. That's where he was. In the beginning, he was with God. The word with there is a little preposition pros. It's P-R-O-S. P-R-O-S. It's an important little preposition. It means a marker of association. It implies interpersonal relationships. Sometimes it's translated before. I stood before him. And it means that we have we're face to face. Pros. Before him. It's translated sometimes with. It expresses some type of relationship. Both of these ideas seem to fit here. It suggests to me three things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All right? Three things. Number one, It seems to indicate a separation of personalities. The Word with God face to face, right? Two personalities. So it expresses that. It indicates that the Word had a personality and he faced God with who has a personality. He was not in God, but with God. Now, you and I, we have a difficult time of understanding the Trinity. We try to explain the Trinity and we sort of stumble over our words. We think about an egg and how it exists in three things, the shell, the yolk, and the white of the egg. We sort of try to grasp that, or we talk about the sun and the rays and the heat, and we try to put those things together to express Trinity, but we really can't understand it. We understand that God exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But beyond that, we're sort of locked in. We really can't understand the personality because it's just beyond our comprehension. What more can we say about the Trinity? He exists in three persons. Three unique personalities. Three different wills, all the same. But God exists in three persons. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, face to face with God, pros, with God. Expresses a relationship that existed between the Word and God. The second thing it tells us, that he was in the presence of God. He was before God. He's in the presence of God. The third thing it tells us about the fellowship was existed between the Word and God. Before ever the world was. Before the world came into existence, God existed. And there was a relationship between those two. Or three, if you please, if you bring in the Trinity. See, the Word with sort of expresses a relationship. Enoch walked with God. What does that mean? He walked with God. He had a relationship with God. And he was not. God took him home. So there is expressed in this a relationship, a fellowship. Will you turn to Proverbs chapter 8 with me? Now, before you do, Proverbs 8, don't turn there yet. Proverbs 8 is a Proverbs which deals with wisdom. And it personifies wisdom. It speaks of wisdom as a person. When we say it personifies something, it speaks of something as a person. It's fitting that we go back there because Christ is wisdom. And I have a couple of verses for you here. Let's see, do I have it down there yet? 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "But of him are ye in Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom." Wisdom. In Colossians 2:3, it says, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." That is, in Christ. All these things are hidden. Now we turn to Proverbs. And we're going to read, if Christ is wisdom, and he is, when you read Proverbs, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to look at a couple of verses. When you have time, you read that through. But I want you to know, if you look at verse 22, it speaks of wisdom, but it speaks of an eternal generation. The Lord possessed me. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. He possessed me. Verse 23 speaks of his appointment from eternity. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Speaking of wisdom, Jesus Christ personified. Where was he? Well, he was in eternity. He was with God. He had a relationship with God. In verses 24 to 26, he speaks of his preexistence, that he existed before. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no foundation abounding with water, fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world. Jesus Christ preexisted. Here we have wisdom preexisted. Jesus Christ is wisdom. Does that put anything on words? How do you express wisdom with words? Verses 27 to 29, we talked about his presence at creation. When he was prepared, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. And when he set a compass upon the face of the depth, and he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, and that the water should not pass from his hands, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. I was there, he says. I was there. He was there. In verses 30 to 31, he reveals his relationship with God and his delight in creation. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of this earth. And my delights were with his, with the sons of men. So even in his creation, and he was there, he was present. He was with God. He was with God. The application of this passage to Christ is clear. You can't read Proverbs 22 and not realize, or Proverbs 8. You cannot read Proverbs 8 and not realize that he's speaking of a person, wisdom. And that wisdom is wrapped all up in Jesus Christ. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Micah 5, 2, he writes these words, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you will come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." The Word existed. He was with God from the very beginning. What is the beginning? I have no idea. I have no idea. Want to make a creation? Fine. He was with there. Certainly he was there. But he was there before the before creation. He was with God. Now again, John says he was with God. The word "was" there is a little word, amy, again, and it has the idea of the imperfect tense. It portrays what happened in the past, and it continues on. It's absolute existence. The Word existed with God right from the very forever. I say from the beginning, but it's forever. One other thing we'll notice before we move on, I think, from this passage. It says, and I want you to note the accuracy of the Scriptures. What it does not say, it does not say the Word was with the Father. The Word was with God. It does not say the Word was with the Father. God, of course, is a common word. It expresses all three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We understand that. If John had said he's with the Father, he would have eliminated the Holy Spirit. Jesus was not only with the Father, he was with the Son. And so he says when he was with God, he's expressing the relationship that he had with the Father and with the Son. With the Father. But he did not say with the Father because he would have excluded the Holy Spirit. Can't do that. The Word was with God. The Word was with God. Just a little minute detail, but it is so clear. When you really look at this, and you really begin to study it, and you look at the accuracy of what John is writing, so simple, and yet so accurate and so detailed, and yet so deep that our minds cannot gather all these things together. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the expression of God, the one who expresses God, the one who declares God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. Not only was the Word with God, but the Word was God. Actually, the Word was, it says that God was the Word. God was the Word. Interesting that John does not write, and the God was the Word. He does not write the God was the Word. He said God was the Word. In the beginning, God was, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The word was. We'll have to pick that up next time. I can't get into that. We have time's up. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for these simple things and yet so deep, Father, that our minds cannot wrap around those thoughts. The Logos, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the alphabet. As he puts things together for us, the words, and expresses the very thoughts of God to us. And he's spoken to us in these latter days by his Son. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that you were willing to communicate to us. Not only were you able to communicate to us, but you saved us, Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the grace. Thank you for the love. Thank you for your word this morning, and we'll thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.